can comment on the weather. It is definitely hot, and I just spent the last 4 years in Texas, last summer in Oklahoma. So I'm fairly familiar with what heat is. I remember last summer, I think, we probably had in Oklahoma City where I was, probably at least every day was over 95, probably every day. So when I came here, I came back complaining about the cold weather, and I was talking to, I think, Brother Clark last Sunday, and I said, we had 30 degrees. It was 30 degrees at our house the other morning. He said, above zero, below zero. And I said, it was above zero. And he said, better be grateful it wasn't below zero. So it was a good, I was like, ouch. So I'm going to be in actually a lot of different passages today. We're going to talk about Christ's call to Peter. And we're going to be looking at probably six or seven different passages. But I'll start in Luke 5. So if you want to turn there. Pull out my phone so I don't, because I remember one time, the first time I preached, I thought I'd preach for 15 minutes and ended up being 40. So I was like, oops. So let's Luke chapter 5, and I'll be the last one to turn there probably. And we'll start in verse 1, and then I'll give a little bit of background of where I'm going. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." And let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I just pray for your guidance and your direction, Lord. I pray, Lord, that I would not speak where you have not spoken, Lord. I pray that I would only say what you would want me to say, Lord. And I pray the focus would be on you and that you alone would be glorified today. I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So give me a little bit of background. Out of all the disciples, I would say the Apostle Peter had probably the most volatile personality and probably the most volatile relationship with the Lord. He was very strong-willed, he was very passionate, and he was definitely presented a bit of a stark contrast to some of the other disciples, particularly John. If we look at John, very even keel, very relaxed. He doesn't speak very often, but when he does, it's probably profound. But Peter would say what he wanted to say, oftentimes when he didn't mean to say it, and he would sometimes do these actions that he didn't mean to do. God had a very unusual plan for Peter, and he was able to take Peter's passion and fire and channel it so that he could use it as a great tool for his cause. But where was the great turning point in Peter's life? How was he channeled from a brash and fairly fearful man into a great servant of God? I believe we can develop some clues by looking at a chain of events in Peter's life, each which was a character-building event that culminated in a call from Jesus. And so we start in Luke chapter 5. And I ended in verse 7, I believe it, verse 6, I ended in verse 6. But I'm going to read verse 7, let's continue in verse 7. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." At this point, I think Peter has developed a high level of respect for Jesus. I know he's not one of his disciples just yet. Jesus hasn't called him, but he has a very high level of respect for him as a teacher, as a master, and I think a lot of the Jews did that time. When Peter first heard about Jesus, he heard about him from his brother Andrew, who called him, and I believe Peter was curious because he came and followed his brother to hear Jesus. And it's interesting, though, if you look at verse 3, what did Jesus do? He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. So Peter had given Jesus a platform to preach out of. So he had some level of respect. He's like, you can preach out of my boat while I'm out here mending my nets or fishing, whatever I'm doing. So he had a high level. He was curious. Let's look at verse 8 again. When after Jesus had performed this great miracle, which we'll look at later, which he did twice in Peter's life, Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter was so stunned by the magnitude of the miracle, and it was a shocker for him as a fisherman, that he was actually momentarily became afraid of Jesus. I know sometimes I think I was fishing with Dad the other night, and I was actually shocked I got one. So I think for I think for Peter to have his nets break, to get what was probably the biggest catch of his entire life, he was very shocked. But even more so, to have it done from such a miracle and so unexpectedly, Peter momentarily became afraid of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't encourage that. He says, for he's just, and let's look in verse 10. Peter wasn't the only one here. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And I believe, and look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And this is the first call of Peter, that Jesus gave Peter to become his disciple. And so we'll see, it won't be the last one. At this time, Peter had, like we had, I mentioned before, he had spent very little time with Jesus. He was still getting to know him. He was not one of his disciples yet, but he would become one. We know the Gospels well and therefore are familiar with the many experiences Peter had while following with Jesus. However, I think that one that stands out as monumental is found in Matthew 14. So we're going to turn back there. And at this time, Peter has been a follower of Jesus for some time. He's seen Jesus perform many miracles, and he's also been given power to perform them himself. And this is, again, what we're going to be looking at is a chain in Peter's life of events that led up to a very important moment for him and led him to develop into being a great man for God. Let me get there in chapter 14. And let's look at 14, and then let me get it. Let's look at verse 22, and I'll read there. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And at that point, if I were the disciples, I don't think I would have really blamed them. Seeing a man walk on the water was not an everyday sight for them. It wouldn't be something they'd see every day. So the natural conclusion they come to was that it was a ghost. It was a spirit. And so they cried out with fear. At this point, though, Jesus calls to his disciples, assuring them that he was no ghost, but rather the one whom they had spent so much time with. It is amazing, and I'll just take a side note and say here that it is amazing for Christians, to get, including myself, to get so caught up with circumstances that we can take our eyes off Jesus and we even forget when we see a movement of God, when we see a work of God, or when God's telling us to do something, we don't even recognize it. I think that's possible. But let's keep reading. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And this is a very interesting thing. I was thinking, what was Peter thinking here? Although, let's read. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So I think Peter, once he realized that Jesus was Jesus and his fear dissipated, he's like, you know what? I'm going to try to take this opportunity. I might be the only man besides Jesus who ever walks on the water. So I'm going to take the opportunity. He says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And I can imagine when Peter first stepped out of the ship, that was a very frightening moment for Peter. And when he realized that he could actually step on the water, I'm sure that was a very shocking moment for him. He was around the water all the time, but to walk on the surface of the water is a very different thing. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And so Peter, what he did is he made a deep mistake. What he did, and a lot of Christians can do this today, including myself, and I've seen it a lot, is he took his eyes off Jesus and put it again on the circumstances. He saw the wind boisterous, he saw the waves, and he got afraid, and he began to sink. Why did he sink? Because he took his eyes off Christ, whereas before he was watching Christ, whereas he was looking to Christ. Now he's looking at the waves, he's looking at the wind, he's looking at all those things that would distract him, and he got afraid, and because of that, because he doubted, he began to sink. Now, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The moment Peter stepped out of the safety of the boat into an environment that was hostile, he became afraid. No doubt the waves were intimidating, and so much that he feared for his life. But his big mistake, as I mentioned, is he took his eyes off Christ. And this was a great monumental occasion in Peter's life, because it was, I believe, his occasion where Peter began to learn faith in the Lord. I believe that Jesus, when the Bible encloses certain events, when it mentions certain events, that it does so for an exact purpose. And I believe that Jesus, as I'm about to get to as we go along this journey, I believe that Jesus was giving Peter special events to build him as a person and prepare him for a very special mission that God had for him, and allowing him to walk in the water and allowing him to, as we'll see, other events that happened in his life. But now we'll just turn it over just one chapter, or two chapters later, to Matthew 16. And this is another major event in Peter's life that we'll talk about right here. And a very well-known verse as well, in Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And here we can kind of see Peter's boldness and where he speaks before some of the other disciples. Whereas the other disciples were quiet, they were probably thinking what to say. Some of them may have known the truth. I believe they all did at that point, but they didn't know how to articulate it. They didn't know how to word it. But Peter just comes right out and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What does Jesus say to Peter? In verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charge these disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." And I believe we can tell from this moment by Peter's reaction that he had trusted in Christ as a Savior, or as God, as the Son of God, and that he was believing in Jesus was the Messiah. So I believe Peter was a saved man. Peter had a lot of growing to do at this point. He was following Jesus. He was walking with Jesus. And I believe he now trusted in Jesus and believed in him as his Savior. But I don't know exactly how far Peter was yet firm in his faith. And we look at just a few verses later, God gives Peter a very special privilege that he only gave to three of the disciples. And again, I believe God had a very special plan for Peter, as you will see in the book of Acts. But these are some of the events that God used Peter to build him up. Let's look in verse 1 of chapter 17, just a couple of verses down. Actually, verse 28 of chapter 16, because it talks about it. "Verily I say unto you, there be some staying here which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And that's verse 1 of chapter 17. "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment as white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Again, Peter's the only one that speaks. John and James are just quiet. They're probably on their faces seeing God's glory. But Peter's, you know, he's up. He's like, "Lord, if you need me, let me build three tabernacles." "While he yet spake," in verse 5, "behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid." And so Jesus is giving these three disciples, and we're talking about Peter in particular, a very special privilege in that he allows these three in particular to see the transfiguration of Christ. Not only was Peter privileged to see Christ transforming, but he was able to see Moses and Elijah, which must have been a very monumental occasion for any Jew. But even more so, he was able to hear God the Father's voice, something that would have, cannot imagine how much it meant to any of us, but especially to him being a Jew and hearing about the stories from Exodus and Leviticus all his lives, but now he's able to hear God the Father's voice. Jesus allows him to hear that. No doubt such an experience stunned Peter to the point that he did not even understand the magnitude of what he had just seen or heard. And now we're going to fast forward a few moments to the, a little bit forward to the worst moment in Peter's life. And I'm kind of just jumping back and forth, but I'm getting to something. Have you ever been in a situation which you knew was so significant that you didn't even know how to handle it? Such was that, and we're going to look at that right now. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 26 and take a look at this. And this is where Peter, again, his rashness, his intensity comes out. But I believe, again, that God had a specific plan for him. We'll look at it right here in Matthew chapter 26. Peter was the disciple that we all know denied Jesus. And we'll look at the story. And we'll do a couple verses here. In verse 31 of Matthew 26, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye should be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Again, Peter is saying, Lord, they all might go. I don't know about them, but I'm sticking with you. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Again, personality comes out. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Let's go to verse, go forward to verse 69 of chapter 26. It's a long chapter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And here Peter's on the opposite side of the coin. Again, he's speaking out before maybe he even thinks. But this time it's in a negative context. Verse 70. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out of the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came to him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And this was, like I said, probably the worst moment in Peter's life, when he realizes he loved Jesus. He really did truly love him, and he was a very faithful follower until this point. But now to realize that he's blasphemed Jesus' name, that he's left him, that he's abandoned him, that he's denied him, that he's even gone to the extreme measure and denied him with cursing and swearing, must have been a very, when Peter realized what he did, it must have been a very sad moment for him. And it's almost humorous to see Peter's behavior change. One moment he's out there, as we know, in the Garden of Gethsemane with a knife, attacking Malcolm for even coming close to Jesus, the next second denying him in front of a servant girl. In an attempt to protect himself, Peter's denied his identity with Jesus, and he's continued further by cursing and swearing. And now I'm going to turn to really where I want to spend most of my time. This is the culmination of where I'm getting to, and let's turn to John chapter 21. And John chapter 21, the last chapter in the book of John. This is really where I believe Jesus has a special plan for Peter. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he showed himself to the disciples several times now, including to Peter. They've seen him, but he hasn't stayed with them. He's visited them and then he's left. And so let's look at chapter 21. We're going to start in actually verse 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. And after the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And again, I know I've said this like 10 times, but he's the first one. He's the go-getter. He's the one who goes out there. He says, Jesus, I don't know where he is, and I'm going to go back to my old life of fishing. Jesus did call me. He knew Jesus had called him, but he decided to go back to his first life of fishing. And the other disciples who were seen to be followers to an extent said, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And let's look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Looking at this story, we see a lot of pictures from earlier moments in Peter's life. Jesus talking to him after he had spent Jesus appearing to Peter after he had spent a whole night fishing and catching nothing. Jesus appearing on the shore, but the disciples knowing not that it was Jesus. There's several different parts in here that were flashbacks to their earlier times together. And let's look at verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they are not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. At this point, this is actually an interesting moment here. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. So this is the rare moment when Peter's the one who doesn't act first. But they had remembered from 3 years before that Jesus had performed the exact same miracle in the exact same way. Told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship after they had caught nothing, and they caught a very large number of fish. Let's continue in verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And let's look at verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as there were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And the disciples came to shore to find out that Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. After they had eaten, Jesus singled out Peter and asked him the same question three separate times. And we're going to look at that. Let's start in verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And these three verses are really where I want to, the next five verses are where I really want to make my point. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I've often thought back and forth, who is the these that Jesus is talking about? And there's several, I've heard it's the disciples, I've heard it's the life of fishing. I think the biggest thing that Jesus is getting at is not particularly what it is, but what he's about to get to. And let's continue. He, Peter, saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So Jesus has asked the same question to Peter each time. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter vehemently, again and again, he's saying, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Why are you asking me this again? Are you trying to make me look like I don't love you? Or are you trying to, what are you getting at? And Jesus is getting a very specific thing here. Let's look at verse 18. In Jesus' words, Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So we see that Jesus has given Peter two different commands to follow him, way back in Luke 5, and then he gives a command again in John chapter 21, towards the end of their time with Jesus. He says, Follow me. And why would Jesus ask that twice? And what is the point that Jesus is getting at? What Jesus is saying, he's telling Peter, he's saying, Yes, whereas back in Luke 5, he's saying, Peter, you're to be a fisher of men. You're to follow me. You're to see what I am about. You're going to see what I'm about to do. But now Jesus is saying to him, Peter, you've seen what I've gone through on the cross. You've seen what the persecution that I've experienced. You've seen how much I loved you. And he's saying, Now, Peter, can you follow me in this? And the moment, what Jesus is saying to Peter, he's asked him if he loved him multiple times, because he's saying, Peter, I have a special plan for you, and it's much greater than you think. And what he's about, and what he explained to Peter is, you are going to be crucified exactly like I was. And he said, Peter, are you ready to follow me in that? And Jesus has led Peter on all these different events, all these character building experiences for Peter, where he builds his faith, where he builds him up as a person. And then he says, Peter, are you ready? Do you love me? Are you ready for what I have for you? And he says, if you are, follow me. And in verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following. I love how John doesn't ask any questions. He says, okay, Jesus is going, I'm going too. Then Peter turning about, see the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast to supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him say to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me? Follow thou me. And then time's almost up, and I'm going to briefly turn to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at the difference in Peter's life after Jesus has gone back to heaven. We saw Peter, who is so afraid of a simple servant girl that he's willing to deny Jesus vehemently over it. Let's look in Acts chapter 8, or 4, verses 8 through 12. Look at Peter now. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. History tells us that John was the only disciple who was not killed, who was not martyred for the Lord. And it wasn't just the disciples. Throughout the past thousands of years, no matter what secular historians tell us today, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of Christians were martyred. And they are willing to do that. And I heard one famous Christian writer today, he was actually in a debate with an atheist, and he said, if Jesus had never resurrected from the dead, then why would they be so foolish to do that? Why would they be willing to give their lives up if this was all such a phony thing? And he had made a very good point. Because of what the disciples saw, what Jesus did, because they knew it was sure, because they knew of a surety of it, they're willing to give their lives. And I'm going to go back. You don't have to turn there, but John chapter 21. I'm just going to read the call one more time of Jesus. And Jesus speaking to Peter, this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And I'm going to write, the call of Peter is important because it is Christ's call to being willing to give up one's life for his cause. And as one teacher in Bible college said, Jesus' call to Peter at this point was not only for Peter to follow him, but to follow him and forfeit his life if necessary. And one thing I would say is, I believe Jesus extends that call to every Christian today. But how can we as Christians even consider such a call until we obey the first call of Peter to follow Christ and be willing to give up whatever it is that stands in the way of that calling? And so,